Do not let circumstances control your heart. I need to say that to me. Don't let what you see happening to you control your heart. Put your eyes on the Lord. He'll say it. It's me. Look at me. Don't be afraid. Look right here. Keep your eyes on me.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse through the Bible. Jesus walks on water as our study of John continues in chapter 6, verse 15. Here's Pastor Bob.
In John chapter 6, we got all the way through verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him their king, he departed again into a mountain himself, and he went alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went, they had gone down to the sea. They entered into a ship, and they went over toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. He was still up in the mountain. Jesus realizes what the people, he knows hearts, so he understands what they're thinking. They don't want him as their Messiah, as their Lord God. They're not recognizing him as their Savior. They recognize him as a deliverer, a sort of a dude like Moses that God used to deliver them out of Egypt. Oh, good, he's going to deliver us out from under the Romans. Grab him. He's our king. Let's make him king. They wanted him to be their king. Listen. If he had been a regular man, he would have probably said, okay, well, it's better, you know, I don't have a lot to eat and don't have a place to stay. King might be kind of nice. Let's do this. But he was God, fully God. Jesus, once the crowds are on their way, the disciples are now out there row, row, row in their boat. And he goes further on up that mountain, get up pretty good height. And he's looking now while he's praying, watching his disciples heading out there on the lake. Both Matthew and Mark tell us Jesus sent his disciples on ahead over the sea toward Capernaum. Now it's dark. Jesus is still praying, but as God Almighty, he's still watching his disciples, and they're now in trouble. Wait a minute. I better say that again. He's watching his disciples. He's on that mountain praying, watching them, and they are in some desperate trouble. A storm comes up suddenly, and on the Sea of Galilee, the winds would blow down through the canyons of the Jordan River, the canyons, and they would come bursting onto the lake, and waves, strong winds would whip up waves almost instantly. So for little boats like they had, that would had they had a choice, they would not have gone out on the water. But Jesus told them, go on out there. And so now they're in the big middle. It's super, super, almost hurricane-like winds that come through those canyons down that Jordan Valley. And when it hits the water, those waves are turning everything upside down. None of those fishermen, the disciples, would have ever gone out there unless Jesus told them to. Storm comes up suddenly. They're out there on that huge lake. Mark 6 tells us, while Jesus was praying, he's watching his disciples rowing for their lives. They are fighting the waves and the wind, and they are losing. They think they're going to die. Did Jesus panic and jump off the mountain and fly? Here I come. No, that's Mighty Mouse. No. He's still praying and he's watching. Even though Jesus wasn't with them, Jesus was with them, right? Right now, Jesus is with you. You don't see him. He's got his eye on you. He's watching every bit. And you got to ask yourself these questions. Or maybe let me ask you them and you answer them. Did Jesus, who is God Almighty in human flesh, know that the storm was coming? Yes. Why? Because God knows everything. He knows the storm is coming. Did he send them out there on purpose anyway? Yes. You're starting to get it? You're starting to look at your life a little bit and get what's going on? He sent them out there. He actually sent them out there on purpose. He sent them. And even though some of them were fishermen and thinking, you know, that doesn't even sound like the smartest plan for a fisherman, but the Lord said, do it. And I love these guys in the fact that even though they're not sure of anything, they obeyed him. They obeyed Jesus and they went. They just didn't get very far. Sometimes we are caught in a storm. Some of you are going through storms right this very moment. You're caught in a storm. Sometimes we're caught in a storm, and I can speak for personal experience. You could probably say amen to it. Sometimes we're caught in a storm because we disobeyed the Lord. Ever been in one of those storms? How did they get in the big middle of this? Because he said left and I went right. How about you? You don't have to say yes to me. I'll say it to you. Yes, you have. Maybe right now you are. The book of Jonah teaches that so clearly to us. Sometimes I get myself into the storm and God didn't send me. Here's what I love about God, though. He's his eyes on the sparrow and I know he's watching me. Even though he didn't send me into that thing, he's going to take care of it, right? That doesn't mean be dopey and go into it anyway. So sometimes we're caught in a storm because we've disobeyed. In the book of Jonah, short, four chapters, read that. It's just right before you go to bed. It's kind of cool. But sometimes, listen closely, sometimes the storm comes because we have obeyed. Didn't they obey God and get into the boat? Did God know the storm was coming? Yes. Did God know it was going to be this severe? Yes. Did he send them out there on purpose? Yes. Why? Because number one, he's protecting them. He's protecting them from having to deal with what was going on here. They wouldn't have understood anything that was happening, why Jesus hurried those people off. So, and they're not understanding anything that's going on right now, but they will. They will. Sometimes the storm comes because we have obeyed the Lord. When that happens, we can be sure our Savior is, number one, praying for us, and number two, ready to handle whatever he's planning to handle. He was with his boys, with the disciples. We're his boys and girls. God never changes, never. In the midst, in the troubles in your life, my life, our lives, the trials, the storms that you're going through, some of you right now, sometimes we think this, where is Jesus? Where is he? He was up on the mountain keeping a close eye on those boys and praying for them. He already knew what he was going to do. They don't know what he's going to do. I don't want to ruin it for you, but he's going to walk out there across the lake. And somebody says, because he knew where the rocks were. I believe he walked on water. In the midst of your troubles and trials, storms, we have the tendency to think, where is Jesus? You non-believers ask regularly, Well, where was God on 9/11? Well, where is it? Listen, God is there. Jesus Christ on 9/11 was sitting on the throne, making intercession for all that were his and keeping an eye on everything else, wasn't he? And he worked a bunch of amazing miracles, if you read the stories, and he saved a lot of lives. And some of his, he allowed them to come home. And coming home is not as bad as you make it sound. The world makes it sound like that's a terrible thing. Going home for us is a good thing. Hard to get that through here, isn't it? In the midst of the troubles, where is Jesus? Sometimes, and don't you think that's what the disciples did? Jesus told us to come out here. Where is he now? Where is he? Listen, have you ever felt this one? Where is Jesus? Has he forgotten that I'm going through this? The waves are pretty high. I'm pretty sure I'm going down this time. Has he forgotten? That's what they're thinking. They are scared. They think they're dying. And I know many, many people that will say the same thing. I'm going through troubles and I'm praying and it's like the heavens are brass. Where's Jesus? Where is he? Has he forgotten? Doesn't he care about what's happening to me? You've heard Christians say that. Why is he allowing this? Doesn't he care? Of course he cares. Jesus could see his disciples. No way were they ever out of his sight. No way are you or am I. No way are any of us that are his ever out of his sight, ever. Even in the dark, Jesus could see them. He knows our thoughts. He knows our sorrows. He knows all about every difficulty we are facing this very moment. He knows the difficulties. If there's a next week, he knows what they're going to be. You don't. You don't want to know. Just walk through this, and if whatever happens will come at you at speed of light, you'll be there. I used to ask, "Oh Lord, what next?" I don't just leave it alone, Bob. Let's get through this. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we Christians have a great high priest that passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast, hold tightly, hold solidly our profession, claiming Jesus Christ as Lord. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you're out there in the boat and your boat is filling with water and your shirt's going to go down, cry out to the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord, knowing that he's got his eyes on you and he has a plan. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, he, the Lord God, is able to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Our high priest right now at the right hand of the Father is making intercession for all that belong to him, all that have said, save me, Jesus. Wash me. I have sinned. Give me life. Your grace, your mercy. You've asked Jesus into your heart, and he ever lives to make intercession for you. You have an advocate with the Father. You are not alone. The devil can attack you a zillion different ways, and Jesus is right there saying, got it. There's no way he can get to you. No way he can get to you. Jesus did this on purpose to protect his disciples from having to deal with certain issues. They were still too immature, and also to teach them something they knew because they'd seen it in scriptures, but now they get to experience that Jesus saves. Now, John doesn't talk about Peter walking on the water. But Matthew, if you'd like to read it, Matthew does talk about Peter. John is here, remember, just to show you Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. That's John's reason the Holy Spirit put on his heart to write these words down. So we're in verse 19. What do we read? So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, that's about 3 to 4 miles, they see Jesus walking on the water, on the sea, and drawing near to the ship, and they are afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then, and only then, they willingly received him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land where they were headed. When Jesus got in the boat, not only did everything calm down, but they were at their destination instantly. Get it? He's not going to let anything happen to you. He says, we're going to go home. We're going to go to heaven. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, mansions, and I prepare a place for you. I'll come back and get you. You will be there. Why? Because Jesus promised that he would get you there. And it would be instantaneous, just like there where they were going. And they couldn't, they hadn't gone but 3 or 4 miles max. They were rowing for their lives, fighting against the huge waves and the powerful winds, struggling to remain afloat, to stay alive. You go into that water with those kinds of waves, you're going under. They are sure that they're going down, and they are afraid. They had rowed about between 3 and 4 miles. They're in great danger. They see something out there. The others tell us they think they're seeing a ghost or a spirit. They look through the waves, the winds. Something or someone, a form, is walking on the water toward that boat. And that scared them. They're very afraid. Scared very badly. They think they're seeing a spirit of some kind or a ghost. Well, you're out on the lake. You're not expecting some dude to come walking by, are you? And it's dark and it's windy and the waves are all over. Water's, you know, flying through the air. And they look and they see. Jesus calms their heart from a distance. He yells out. He cries out, it is I. Don't be afraid. There's no need to be afraid. Circumstances can make it hard to see Jesus. Isn't that true? You get in the big middle of something, and it is so big, all you can see in front of your face is your hand. The further your hand gets away from your face, you go, oh, that's just a hand. It's not that bad. But when you are right in the big middle of something, you can't see much. And you certainly, it's hard to see Jesus. They're looking and they're thinking they're seeing a ghost or a spirit, which pretty much convinced them their time is up. They're going down. They're probably thinking, this is it for us. He calms their hearts. It's me. It's I. Don't be afraid. They recognize his voice instantly. Even though he's still hard to see, they recognize his voice. Circumstances, everybody, can make you think you're done, can't they? How many times have you thought it? I'm going to lose this job for sure. This is not going to play out. I'm going to be out of a job. I'm going to be all alone. Nobody loves me anyway, right? And you're thinking, circumstances make it hard to see Jesus. That's why we're told, don't look at the circumstances. Keep your eyes on Jesus at all times, when it's smooth sailing or when it's rough seas. Jesus says, look at me. Look at me. It's me. Don't be afraid. Look at me. It is I. Don't be afraid. I gotcha. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Maybe a good scripture you and I could memorize. Thou will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. I'm not trusting in the waves. I'm not trusting in the boat. I'm not trusting in the wind. Got my eyes on Jesus, and that's the only thing I think could save me. Do not let circumstances control your heart. I need to say that to me. Don't let what you see happening to you control your heart. Let Jesus put your eyes on the Lord. He'll say it. It's me. Look at me. Don't be afraid. Look right here. Keep your eyes on me. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Paul says to the Philippians, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased," in other words, completely poor, homeless, "and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Easy to say, really easy to live if your eyes are on the Lord. But if the circumstances have got you, how are you doing? "Well, under the circumstances, I'm okay." Then get out from under the circumstances. Let Jesus lift you up. He says to the disciples, "It's me. Don't be afraid." Now you're looking to Jesus. And you know, as you read through Matthew, that Peter, he recognized the voice, but he still couldn't see. "If it's you, Lord, tell me to come out there." And Jesus said, "Come on out." That shows you he wasn't real close to the boat because Peter had a ways to go. And Peter stepped out, and he was walking on water until he got his eyes off Jesus and onto the waves. He started looking at the waves and what the wind was doing to them, and his eyes were now off Jesus, and he sank. And then he died there, and Jesus didn't say, "No, no, 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 no." Go back and read through it. Look at Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." We have to not just know that, we have to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ that he means it, that he meant it when he said it. "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." He would never let those disciples go into anything without him. Even the trials, once he ascended back to the Father, when he went through, or when they went through troubles and trials and persecution. Remember, he showed up in the cell that Peter was chained up to two guards. And Jesus showed up. And remember, when Paul was in prison, Jesus showed up and talked with him when Paul was up there in prison. Said, you're going to be okay. I'm sending you to Rome. You're going to preach to kings and stuff. "It is I. Be not afraid." Then look at verse 21. "They willingly received him into their boat," that little ship, "and immediately the ship was at the land where it went." Jesus told them, head toward Capernaum, you know, Bethsaida, Capernaum, that whole area right there. Those are close. And there they were. How did they get there? God did it. God did it. How am I going to get to heaven? How are you going to get to heaven? How are you going to get through all the trouble that's coming your way? And this week, they changed laws. They changed this and that. Outlawing the Bible, doing this and that. How are you going to get through all that? Fret? Complain? Picket? Call people nasty names? Fight and spit and curse? No, not true believers. They're going to tell everybody Jesus loves you and I do too. With all the hate in America, and everybody hates each other. They used to like each other just last year, and now they don't like each other. And it's, you can't, and now it's, God only knows who doesn't like who anymore. It's hard to tell. But I'm not going to worry about it because Jesus loves them all. So we need to tell the world, Jesus Christ loves you. That's our message. And a smart way to do it is just take it right out of the book. That's a smart way to do it. Hide God's word in your heart. And share it with everybody you get to meet.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.